So Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 reads, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." I was thinking about how Paul at one time was, if he could have boasted, what would it sound like? Well, if you turn to Philippians chapter 3, it says, "Though I myself have reason to have confidence in the flesh," he was fighting basically in Philippi, the same people that were the Judaizers, the people that were pushing the law service, pushing circumcision on people. And he says, if I had confidence in the flesh, if anybody does, I more. He says, if anyone thinks that he has reason for the confidence in the flesh, he says, "I was circumcised on the eighth day, the people of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and to the law, a Pharisee, as to the zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted loss for the sake of Christ." Later on, he's fighting with these false apostles who came into the church at Corinth, and he's defending himself against them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am better one." I am talking like a madman here. "With far more greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings." Listen to this now. "And often near death, five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, in danger from my own people, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger of false brothers, in toil and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure." Whew. So if you want to brag about, as far as what people think is righteousness, according to the law, he says, "I could do that." Or if we want to really talk about, what it means to really serve Christ, I could do that, he says. But it's all for naught. Even when he had those visions in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he talks about the vision that he had, probably when he was left for dead, but we don't know exactly when, but he was caught up to the third heaven, and he talks in the third person as if it was somebody else. But then he says, "To keep me from boasting, I was given a thorn in the flesh." And in that thorn in the flesh, he prayed three times that God would take it away. And three times the answer came back, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." And he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I be weak, so that I might be strong in the Lord." All right, so Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. The just to kind of turn around it here, in verse 12, it says, "Those who want to make a good showing." These are the circumcisers. He wanted to force these people to be circumcised so that they could get a notch in their gun. It's kind of like those people that brag about all the people that they lead to the Lord. They kind of, "I got another one," and they got a little notch in the gun or whatever they want to say. All right, so they were looking at that. And so it says in verse 13, "For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep," they don't even keep the law, "but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." Okay, that's the background. That's the setting here where Paul makes this statement. Okay, they want to boast in the flesh. Here's what Paul says, "Far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." So, I'm going to look at why the cross and why the boasting, and then what does it mean? All right. Why the cross? Jesus said this to his disciples in the book of John, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Why are we so excited about even the death of Jesus Christ? Because, as we read from Philippians, that even though he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he took upon him the form of a servant, was made like us, in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Machen used to say that the gospel is a presentation of historical facts, theologically interpreted by according to doctrine, but it's brought into personal aspect. So the historical facts are that Jesus Christ did suffer on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ was not only beaten, remember that he was taken under a trial, and while they were taking him under trial, they even blindfolded him and smacked him in the face and told him to prophesy who did it. We're told in the book of Isaiah, we're not sure exactly how this took place, but they pulled the hair out of his beard. Okay, and they whipped him with cat of nine tails. And so punching, they placed a crown of thorns on his head. Okay, all those physical sufferings. So then he was compelled to carry the cross after being, you know, stop and think about it. He'd been up, you know, he was sleep deprived, and then he's beaten, he's getting under trial, and then all of a sudden they say, okay, we're going to crucify, now carry the cross. And that's when, and he stumbled, and that's when they asked the Simon the Cyrene to take the cross. They nailed him to the cross, physical suffering, they pounded the nails through his hands and through his feet. The physical sufferings of when the thud of that cross went into the ground, the jolt of that, and then the fact that he was mocked while he was there. The two robbers, one on the left and one on the right, derided him. People came by wagging their heads at him. You ever done that, wagging your head? Somebody pulls out in front of you. Maybe you do this, but okay. So there, people do that all the time. So they're coming by wagging their head. They were speaking as if, if he was really God, or if he was really who he said, he could come down from the cross. Well, he couldn't if he was going to accomplish what he came to do. And people said to him, let God deliver him now if he desires. And he says, since he said he's the Son of God, and they were also reviled him. So stop and think about the whole pain, the physical pain, the emotional pain. But I want to point out, because many times that's where people stop. Our society will allow that to happen. They'll pay money for, was it Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, to see a little physical suffering. The suffering of the cross was 3 hours from noon until 3, when it was complete darkness. Why is it complete darkness? Because God would not let anybody see what he was going to suffer. Remember the book of Isaiah, it says his visage or his countenance was marred more than any man. So during that time of darkness is when Jesus suffered the punishment of what we would experience in hell. We can't even compare that, and that's why I believe God was not allowing anybody to see it during that time. Now, these are historical times, because historical facts that they actually beat him, they actually nailed him to the cross, they actually put the cross on the ground, they actually derided him and said all kinds of things to him, spit at him and stuff like that. And there's a count, the account is that it was dark for 3 hours. I believe that man couldn't see his hand in front of his face. Have you ever been in that much darkness? I had a job one time. I worked at this audiovisual company, and I was being trained to be the backup guy for the dark room. Now, this is a really crazy job, because the guy took me into the dark room, turned the lights out, and he said, "Now watch this." And I called him Chevy, and I said, "Chevy, I can't see my hand in front of my face. How am I going to see what you're doing?" He goes, "You have to use your imagination." This was no imagination. There was darkness. Because God was not going to allow anyone to see this humiliation of Christ. And at the end of that time, that is when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And at that point, they brought him some a sponge filled with sour wine. They lifted it up to him to drink. And that is when Jesus cried out, as we see in John chapter 19, verse 30, "It is finished." And the book of Matthew tells us the veil of the temple that kept people out of the most holy place, that curtain, that very thick curtain, was torn from the top to the bottom. All right, that's the historical facts. Machen would say, well, let's talk about the doctrine of there. What happened? What was going on during that time? Doctrinally, Jesus told us ahead of time what was going to happen. He says, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which he hath given me, I would lose nothing, but raise them up at the last day. He can't raise us up in the last day until he pays the price for us. So he's not going to lose anything. So as it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, that he came to save his people from their sins. And the good news is that he did it. He was there on the cross. In John chapter 12, verse 32, it says, And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. And John writes a little footnote inspired by the Holy Spirit. It says, and he said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. He was lifted up. John chapter 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He also said, I am the good shepherd and I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He laid his life down. He even said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. So in Philippians, when he says that he being in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he took upon him the form of a servant, emptied himself, became obedient unto God, and not only being born in the likeness of men, but being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Listen to these words of Galatians chapter 3. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So when we come to the cross, we want to glory in the cross. Well, why? Our Savior was nailed there, right? He suffered physically there, but he became a curse. A curse is more than just, you know, you're going to get it one day. A curse means he was condemned. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when it says, God made him to be sin for us, the one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So why the boasting? Well, the context is, again, they were boasting in the law, these Judaizers, they wanted to push the law on people. They weren't keeping the law themselves. They wanted to just boast in the fact they got another convert here to follow the circumcision. Paul says, far be it from me to glory or to boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul in similar fashion says, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. In other words, I wasn't preaching something. I could have really filled the time with a lot of boasting on things that I knew, because he was an authority in the Old Testament and Old Testament theology. He could have just flattered people with all kinds of speech and wisdom. But he says, I decided to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's everything. Jesus Christ and him crucified. We talk about atonement. It's Christ and him crucified. We talk about propitiation, satisfying the wrath of God. It's Christ and him crucified. We talk about expiation, the removing of our sins. It's happened on the cross. Jesus Christ and him crucified. We talk about our justification. It's because Christ was crucified on our behalf. Talking about our reconciliation. We're brought with God to God in peace because Jesus Christ suffered on the cross. Talk about the removal of our guilt and our shame. It's because Jesus Christ suffered on the cross. Talk about our eternal security, that nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God. It's because Christ has suffered once and for all. Again, Matthew 1:21, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, I delivered to you first importance, and also I received that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Jesus said it is finished, and so Paul rightly says in 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. All right, this last part I'm going to just get to, where he says, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I like to read Spurgeon's sermons. He's such an articulate person, and he was massaging this, and he says, I want you to picture the cross, and there's of Christ, and it's surrounded by two crosses. And as we come to the cross and we glory in the cross, we're actually bringing two crosses with us. The cross of the world and the cross of self. I like that. Which he says, the world is crucified to me and I to the world. And I believe there's a sense that the world and its attraction is crucified to us. And we're crucified to the world that they don't understand what this is going on. But just think about the cross of self. Jesus even said that. Now, if you want to follow me, he says, I want you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Self-denial, the self part of that, the flesh wants to glory, doesn't it? It wants to control. It wants to have control of your life. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, when I serve myself serve the law with my mind, but my flesh I serve the law of sin. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's the one who said, I discipline my body to keep it under control, lest after preaching to others I myself should be disqualified. All right, so how do we glory in the cross? Well, first of all, we glory in the cross by crucifying self. And that is a constant thing in our lives, isn't it? Wow. Self just comes up and wants to have its own way with us. Secondly, the world, the cross of the world. Listen to what John says. Do not love the world or the things in the world, for if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that are in the world, the desires of the flesh and of the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away along with its desires. Whoever does the will of God abides forever. James tells us that friendship with the world is at enmity. It's against God. So what do we do? I think this is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. Here's how it looks. To crucify the world. Here's what Paul says in Titus. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, listen to this, to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Back to the cross, then, he says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people that are zealous of good works. Okay, far be it from me, Paul says, to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. No wonder, he says, it's of him, it's of God that we're in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, it's because God has chosen you, God has given you to the Son to redeem. The Son has redeemed you. The Spirit has called you. Your life is in Jesus Christ, and everything hinges on what he did at the cross. Far be it to boast, except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let's pray.